We're going to pray for Linda as she shares the word. You know, for those of us that were here in Sunday Morning Live, Crystal made a statement that's so true. Our church is full of those who can preach and teach the word, and Linda is one of them, and we are blessed by this. And so we're going to pray for her as she comes. And my sister, I know, is full of Holy Spirit, anointed of God, called for this such a season as this, such a time as this. And so, Lord, we lift up Linda to you. We thank you for your power and your presence within her, that your word that you've given her will not return void, that it'll accomplish what you are sending it forth to do. Again, we thank you for your peace upon her as she shares this. And again, the excitement of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. Again, we give you glory and praise and honor and all that is shared this morning. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ooh, anointed girl.
Amen. Well, it's good. I'm not centered. Now I'm more centered. So, my title this morning, and actually, this word came earlier in this year, and I knew right away what it was. It was like, what's love got to do with it? And you know, in the secular world, Tina Turner had that song, What's Love Got to Do with It? And she thought it was a secondhand emotion. And it's like, I got news for you, Tina. You were mistaken. It's way, way more. And so we wanted to talk. I'll share with that my thoughts and some of my thoughts, and hopefully they'll be things that trigger in your life from the Word of God. I don't do PowerPoint. It's way more than enough trying to type the scripture on the paper so you can read it. So one of my favorite scriptures, of course, is John 3:16, and almost everybody in the world has heard that at some point. And it's, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, I apologize for my home group, because they kind of heard part of this, but it's important. They might have needed to hear it twice. When I looked more up, I went more in depth in my study Bible and the notes, and it was really interesting. And this passage in Scripture is probably the most famous summary of the gospel in the entire Bible. It shares it all. It makes it clear to the readers what took place, and makes it possible for someone to have eternal life it's only in believing in Jesus Christ. But the concept, God so loved the world, was an astonishing comment for John to make in that time, in that era. Because the Jews had God. They had the great I Am. Yeshua was their God. He didn't belong to the world. The world had all of those other gods, all of those other creations. So for John to be speaking to those people and saying, God so loved the world, you can see how that would have set them back a little bit. It's like, wow, now you're coming to tell us that God so loved this world because of Jesus? They already were having trouble with Jesus. So it was an interesting time. Loving the world was not the thing that people said. Now God loving the world made it possible for whoever believed in Christ to have eternal life, anyone in the world. That also included the Jewish nation, because up until then, they were still searching for the Messiah, but Jesus was the Messiah, and now they too had an assured promise of everlasting life in their belief. God's love for the world was not just a sentiment to him. It was like it took action. The part of that verse said, he gave his only son. In John 1:14, says, the world became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He gave his son, his one and only son. He put him, that was a huge gift to mankind. I don't think we get it. When you think back to in the Old Testament to Noah, eight people. And he said, build that ark because I'm going to save you out of the whole world. Then he gives us a son when he sees everything in destruction. Now, I give you my son and I'm going to save the world. 1 John 2:2 says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. God's purpose in giving his son was to make eternal life and salvation to ever available to whoever who would believe in Jesus and put their trust in him. However, whoever believed in him would not perish, because our belief in Jesus, our Savior, we don't perish in eternal judgment, but we have eternal life in the presence of God forever. And as believers, we're already experiencing that in part on this side of the earth, that eternal life that he's given us. We have blessings in that abundant life, joy unspeakable, it says. The presence of God living in us through the Holy Spirit. Like, those are a great gift. Noah didn't have that. Noah had to live. Like, we have Holy Spirit in us. He's with us. In 1 John 4:12, it says, beloved, this is where Reddy was preaching, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that is born of God and knows God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, for God is love. God's love revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God. No one has seen God. And if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. And what was that, the last song that we were... it was the one before where Betty was singing, and it was that our love, when we walk in love to the other people, we are showing God, because no one has seen God with their eye. Like, we know that no one's seen God, but they see us as believers in Christ. They see us as the church being in there, and as we walk in that love toward others, as we show them the greatness of God, we accept them and they see that, they feel that love, they actually get to see God on earth. So we are God with feet walking everywhere you go. So the next time that guy cuts you off in that lane, just remind yourself who you are. Because maybe that you might just want to wave and not use any fingers. Because you're God. You're God in this place. We want to reflect that. We want to show the world God's love. Even in that picture of us, I'll go to John 4:16. We've come to know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love, and the person that abides in love abides in God, and God abides in them. So that's that picture of our fellowship with God. We're abiding with him. It's not just God and us. It's God and us. Like, we're together. We're abiding in each other. We're a full picture. That picture of fellowship, loving one another, God abiding in us. His love perfected. It perfects us, changes us. We are grounded in God's love. We need to see things from God in our life a little bit different on what is happening and how he loves us. I have a few scriptures because I really like them and I had to share them all. But in Ephesians 2:4-8, it says, but God, I love that, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. But God, in his mercy, in his rich mercy, his mercy is all, can also be translated in his great love flowing towards us. It's not because of anything we did, we don't deserve it. Nothing that we did deserved us being loved by God. He just did that. He chose that. It came to us even when we were dead in sin, even when we're not so lovable, God chose to love us. He looked past seeing our sin because of Christ Jesus. God's love came to make us alive in Jesus. We have a new spiritual life, and we're raised up, and we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We're welcome to come boldly before the Lord. That door's been opened for him because of Christ. We sometimes get stuck that we don't realize that we have an approachable Heavenly Father. You're not gonna burn up and die because you saw God. Used to be, that was what was in the Old Testament. If they saw God, they would die. Or if you touched the ark, you would die. Now, Father God says, come. Come, because we're coming through the blood of Christ. We're coming as... we're seated in Christ. He is with us. He's made us one. And we're able to go boldly. Like there's a great old song they used to sing, boldly I approach the throne. I'm running home. We can just run into Daddy's arms anytime because we are so blessed. And then still in Ephesians in 1:3-4, it says, God has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. So what would that be? Is it health? Is it strength? Is it peace? Endurance? Prosperity? Friends? Relationship? A house over our head? Every spiritual blessing. How do I love? I don't know how to love. It says God's blessed me with that spiritual blessing. He's already put that in me to walk through, to be able to do all of those things, to be able to be... walk in kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, gentleness, self-control. Those are spiritual blessings. Those are all in us to be able to do those. We are so blessed. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. As the word said, we're holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us from adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance to his good pleasure and will. It's God's good pleasure and will to call you a child of God, to offer you sonship, to give you those things. And he planned it from the beginning of time. He's always, always loved you. But now he wants a relationship too. But we already know he doesn't need it. He has no expectations. There's no ties with God's love. God has loved us from the very beginning. In Psalm 136:1, Shannon shared this last week. Give thanks to the Lord our God, for his love endures forever. Now, if you actually read that whole chapter, every chapter ends with our God, his love endures forever. It's giving thanks to God all through that whole chapter for all things. Some of the things are a little like, ooh, okay, but his love endures forever. So we want to keep going. But you might want to look that up this week, especially if you do a review in home group, right? So God's love for us is without condition. He gives us his love with no expectation of anything in return. He loved the world. He predestined it. It was a gift he was giving to the world, his son. He continues to remind us through the world that we are loved and valued no matter what. And maybe be able to find strength in that as we go on that journey. Like, we are loved and valued no matter what, nothing. God does not require us to meet certain conditions for our, but God does expect us, or it's, He doesn't expect anything back for his love. He loves us no matter what. But salvation has a requirement. Salvation has a requirement for us to meet, that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. John 3:16, God loves all the world, but those that receive and believe in Jesus, we need to receive and believe his death, burial, and resurrection for eternal life. Romans 5:8 said, but God, here we go again, shows his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, God loves the people of the world, but we each have a choice to make whether we receive that gift of salvation or not. That whether you choose to be receive the gift of salvation has no merit on how much God loves the world. God died. Jesus took that on the cross for everyone in the world. Through the next how many generations are coming forth. They are under the blood of Jesus if they choose to accept him as their Lord and Savior. So there's that clause. And it's interesting. When Betty was, she talked something about Sunday school, the commandments. The commandments, and it was loving one another in Sunday school. And it's Jewish people believe that the Ten Commandments are the commandments of God showing them how to live. But they believe that they have to keep the Torah for salvation. So even for us, Jesus said, those commandments are still commandments that today we need to use because they show us how to live. Don't be cheating on your wife. Don't be having other idols and keeping God's day. No stealing, no killing. Common sense, right? Isn't that, I kind of want the whole world to live like that. But they even see that, but they still need Jesus as the Messiah. And that's part of why we pray for them monthly, is so that they see that, yeah, Father God loves them, but he chose the whole world, not just one nation. So it just changes a bit, and so it's good for us to see. Father God gave his only son, and Jesus gave us his life for us to be redeemed, to make us children. We're called children of God. But even better, Jesus calls us friend. Like, in this, I think it must be in John 2. He no longer calls us servant, but he calls us friend. We're a friend. It's like, wow. But then part of loving was laying down your life, was showing how much you love for a friend. And Jesus did that. He was a friend to the world, a friend to us. God is able to change us, and because we're no longer lost in sin. Once we have Jesus as our Savior, in Christ we've been set free from sin and death. We have love beyond measure poured out on us. We can't even fathom how great. Let it bring the change to you. Maybe Betty said it's transforming. That his great love can continue to transform us. It could bring the change in our lives, changes from unfavorable behaviors, attitudes, even some of our perspectives. Things that we see, that we say, are those really? Remember the song, be careful little eyes what you see, careful little mouth what you say. The Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful little eyes or mouth what you say. I remember that from Sunday school. And it's true. It's like, okay, we need to guard our heart that God loves. The love of God is able to deliver us from all bondage, every negative habit or addiction, every single one of them. We don't have to walk in any of them. They're part of the spiritual blessings to deliver us from all of those things. The love of God leads us to walk in peace and to live at peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave. Not as the world gives. It's totally different. And the same with how God loves us. It's not how the world loves. It's totally different. It's beyond comprehension. As we allow Father God's love to transform us, we in turn become more compassionate to others. Did you realize that? The more of Jesus is in me and I walk with him, the more I have to give out, the more I'm able to minister and touch the world. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. He's calling us today to be imitators of himself, to follow his example of love. We are his offspring in Christ. We're children of the Most High God. You know, my earthly father used to always say to me, don't do as I do, but do as I say. Well, there was a good reason for that, because what he did wasn't probably anything I should ever want to do. But I like to believe in my heart that he really just was hoping that I'd make better choices than he was able to make in my life. But you know, my Father God says, honey, come along and do what I do. Do what I do. Crystal, do what I do. Any one of us out here, do what I do. Do what I do. Not to be afraid. You know, my God's never going to lead me into some place that's yucky, that's going to harm me. He's coming to lead me into good things, I need to trust him. And all because what I do, or any of us does, shows God on earth, but it also glorifies his name. Living for the Lord, we are able to glorify him. It says, but God, my heavenly Father, encourages me and you, his children, to do as he does because he is love and has given us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to help us grow in God's perfect love. This song, I always get songs, but it's how great the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make this wretch his treasure. How great is that love? And then Stuart Townsend wrote that great song. This is just part of it. I will not boast in anything, no gift, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this, I know with all of my heart, his love has paid the ransom. It's his love that keeps me from hell. It's his love that delivers me from the evil that the enemy would try to bring on us. He brings each of us and delivers us. But you got to say, here I am, Lord. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you died and rose again. I believe that you took everything on that cross for me. I died with you on that cross. It's me who lives now in Christ because of everything he took and did for us. We're going to take a communion table today and eat that. And so part of that when we're doing receiving these emblems is that Jesus told his disciples to do it in remembrance of him. If you're new in our church, it's a believer's table, so any of you are welcome to join us. But this morning I want us to hesitate a bit when we take the emblems. Oh. Thank you. Early, the first question I asked is, what's love got to do with it? I hope that just through what I shared, your heart has received something different and you had an answer. But God's love has everything to do with it. Everything in my life, everything in your life, everything for the whole world is all about God's love. We have seen through the word how great his love is, how great the sacrifice is for us. Like the sacrifice of Jesus and this blood and this bread is beyond anything that any other man would do for us. And we have to remember that he did it as a man. He didn't do it as God. He did it with flesh. His flesh was torn and ripped It was all done for us. So this morning, as we come up, I want to encourage you today to let him pour afresh in your life his love. Sometimes we get so busy in the day and there's so many things and life can be hard. Jesus said, in this world there'll be trouble, but I've overcome the trouble. So just give that back and let him pour out his love on you as you come up to pick up the emblems. But even as you're really reaching, take that minute to pour back your love on him for that great gift that he's given us this morning. If you'll come and take your receive the emblems and emblems or whatever, the bread and the wine, but it's really grape juice. Come and get it, and then we'll take it together.
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we started this day by singing that as we come before you today, we want to say thank you, Lord. And we want to continue in that vein, Lord, and we want to thank you. Thank you for your body and your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you bore on the cross so that we might have eternal life, for your great love poured out on us. We just want to thank you and give you praise and honor and glory. And we remember, it says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat this bread. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before we close this morning, I just want to say, if you don't know the love of God and you don't have that reality of how much God loves you, or you need a fresh touch or something seems to be lacking, there's more than enough people for you to be able to come up for prayer. If you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can come up for your prayer, and we'd be happy to lead you in that. if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's people here that would pray for you to receive that as well. I just want to pray this. The prayer for the Ephesians is kind of fitting for a prayer for these Camrose community church people. So it's Ephesians chapter 3, but I'm starting at verse 14. So this is my prayer for us. For this reason, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derived its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, and together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Through all generations. So good. Have a good week, and I hope you get to pour out some love wherever you go and have some drop back in on you.